It is wonderful to hear Presbyterians clap. Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, and I'm going to be reading from the J.B. Phillips translation, which was came out during the time that I was living and going to high school here. So you'll find it interesting to follow the scripture that will be on the screen with what J.B. Phillips saw this particular passage. Then he said, "The kingdom of God is like a man scattering seed on the ground and then going to bed each night, getting up every morning while the seed sprouts and grows up, though he has no idea how it happens. The earth produces a crop without any help from anyone, first the blade, then the ear of corn, then the full-grown grain in the ear. As soon as the crop is ready, he sends his reapers in without delay, for the harvest time has come." Here ends the gospel reading. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our salvation. What is age other than a number? What is legacy other than a thought? What is an anniversary other than a date on the calendar? Since we're celebrating a long time this morning, I thought it might be helpful to start this sermon by going first to the Old Testament. And I found these verses in Job. It's right at the end of that rather remarkable book. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and his children's children, four generations. And Job died, old and full of days. From there, I started wandering through the book of Psalms, and I found the verse that I had been looking for when I first was invited. It's the 10th verse of the 90th Psalm. "The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong." How does one properly address an anniversary as significant as this one? 150 years in this magnificent building, and at least 170 years for this enduring congregation. I have a box of them, so I wondered, should we reissue one of Dad's sermons, perhaps the one that he delivered here on the 100th anniversary? "Boots, boots, boots, there's no discharge in the war. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine." And one of the ones that I'll never forget, because one night he was preaching in Kincardine to the Farmers Union of Ontario, and he was preaching on a cattle on a thousand hills, but somebody had run over a skunk just before the service, and a couple of the people from his congregation who were there said, "Why didn't you bring back that sermon, which was called Aromatic Christians?" Or we could reminisce about the special services Dad really, really looked forward to here at St. Peter's. The Christmas candlelight service, the New Year's Eve watch night. Maybe I should get personal. Reminisce about the fact that 62 years ago, the Kirk session of this congregation certified me for ministry in the PCC. Certification that lasted 4 years. Or maybe we celebrate that my very first sermon that I ever delivered was here at St. Peter's. And today, as I have indicated, will be my last. Wonderful bookend to my long time connection to the pulpit. Or do we turn to our local Presbyterian-raised historian, Gordon Pitts, and alongside his ancestor, Uriah Seymour, and that indefatigable A.F. Wood, celebrate the early ministry of David Wishart, acknowledging the incredible perseverance of that young congregation when, as you know, in spite of their pretty little church burning to the ground, rebuilt this magnificent edifice called St. Peter's. Now, if you go through some of his books, continuing on that historical front, Gordon chronicles a rather tumultuous story of Madoc. Ups and downs, good times, lean years. And in many ways, the history of this congregation, the story of this congregation, mirrors that history. Now, interestingly enough, if you take time to read the history, the prophets, or of the people of Israel, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through Joseph, Moses, and Aaron, on to David, Solomon, and all the prophets, to Christ himself, and since, there have been ups and downs, good times, and lean years. The story of faith has never been linear, never a paved four-lane highway. It has been one about perseverance. Job to Joshua to James, John Calvin, John Knox, David Wishart, Bob Sinclair, the Reverend Rebecca. To gain some perspective on all this, on the state of our denomination, I got a book out of my library that my father gave me maybe 40 years ago. The Presbyterian Church Throughout the World from the Earliest to the Present Times. Note that, to the present times. Published 1874, 150 years ago. Great book, thick, big, heavy cover, everything. There are some remarkable stories that in themselves could have been the basis for some good sermons. In discussing the Church of Scotland and the development of Presbyterianism, the book notes that Tertullian, a Roman authority, commented in the 3rd century, those parts of Britain which were inaccessible to the Romans beyond the Hadrian's Wall had become subject to Christ through Eastern and Greek influences. Moreover, Tertullian says, in its earliest traces of religious faith and order, these are unmistakably and distinctively Presbyterian. And presbyters were the form of governing for the religious community founded by Columba at Iona. Sometimes God works in mysterious ways, because I don't really know why I found this next quote, but today I'm glad I did. Because on page 27, it talks about a trial and subsequent burning at the stake in 1543 of a distinguished scholar and preacher of noble birth, greatly beloved for the unction and winning sweetness of his ministrations. This man was George Wishart. I'm quite sure an ancestral relative of our own Reverend Wishart and of the two gentlemen here today. Now, the book does also discuss the Presbyterian Church in the Dominion of Canada, pointing out that its first General Assembly was in 1870, after the Congregation of St. Peter's was formed and just before the building was erected. And it highlights the challenges of early Presbyterians in the Dominion. The visits of ministers, like angels, were few and far between. But when preachers came near the toil-worn settlers, they and their message were hailed with delight. Now, ironically, today, many of our churches, including St. Peter's, have experienced times without a regular minister. In fact, were not for ordained women and non-Anglo-Saxons, the PCC would be in dire straits. So be very radical, or be very thankful for that very radical decision at the time, several decades ago, when the PCC decided it would allow women to be ordained. It was a change and a chance that certainly was worth taking. Now, of course, professors of homiletics will tell you that any good sermon will have as its foundation references to learned scholars. So I then thought, okay, I've looked at the history and I've looked at scripture. Maybe I should consider The Institutes of Religion by Jean Calvin of Geneva, or Reinhold Niebuhr, famous intellectual at Union Theological Seminary in New York City. And I could give you many good quotes from either if I thought it would truly make this sermon great. But for now, I'm only going to make reference to one, Niebuhr. Man is made in his created freedom so that he comes to fruition only in covenant with others and in steadfast love for them. His transcendent freedom is in order to love. And love is ordained as the law for his life in freedom. Love is the chief part of natural moral law. And I want you to remember this emphasis on love, for I think it may be one of the most important themes for this anniversary, for this congregation, for each of us going forward. I say this because quite recently I had an intriguing Zoom conversation with a former moderator of our church. We were discussing a series of road trips I have made over the last couple of summers to churches where either I was a student minister or an interim lay minister. And these churches were both in Ontario and on the prairies and in British Columbia and even in New Brunswick. I had noticed about 50% are either closed or have actually disappeared from the community. Not even the building is left. And I asked him about this. I asked him if he had any kind of data so that maybe it was just me picking the wrong places. Maybe I had been sent to places sort of as a prelude to their dying or something. And he said, no. He said, first of all, you have to remember this. He said, much of what the PCC was in 1925, the year of church union, came out of anger. Presbyterians were angry that their wonderful denomination had been decimated by those Methodists who were falling apart and the Congregationalists who were bankrupt. How do I know that? Because my grandfather was a minister who made sure I knew why we were Presbyterian. But as Reverend Bush says, anger is hardly something that will sustain us. He told me another interesting fact. PCC is now selling 15 churches a year across the country. And from Northern Ontario to the Rockies, we may have only a couple of churches left by the end of the next generation. Grace in Calgary, First in Edmonton. 130 congregations now have about 20 members, and 20% of those churches will never call a minister again. We, as the PCC, are bleeding 3,000 members a year. That's a kind of dark cloud to throw into an anniversary. It's sort of like someone taking ketchup and putting it on really fine, rare steak. It just doesn't quite make the meal go the way you want. So then he also said, here is my hope for the church. He says the church should start risking again. It's okay to risk, to try new forms of worship, often around meals or other joyous activities. We forget that quite often, especially in the New Testament, whenever the disciples and Christ got together with people, there was a meal, and they sang, and they read, and Jesus would talk to them. We should try some of that again, because we know we're good at meals. We know that. And I'm betting on it today as well. But we should also try new forms of worship beyond that. He was telling about a service that they now have in his congregation called the Messy Service, once a month. And people are invited to bring their kids, and they have crafts, and they do all kinds of things as they sing and as they hear the scripture and as he gives little chats. As he said, it's amazing who comes. Most of the people aren't members of the congregation. They're just kind of interested to come because they went to Sunday school once, and maybe they should bring their kids for a little while, but they have to stay. They can't leave because it isn't Sunday school. It's messy church. And we have to try new times of worship, fit in with local patterns and community lifestyles. I've often thought that as we opened up our arenas to minor hockey on Sundays, that we should have done what Knox Banff did a long time ago. It really quit worrying about Sunday morning services in the winter. It would have them Saturday night at 6 o'clock. And they'd invite the skiers to come before they went out for their evening and not to worry about missing church on Sunday. And it was quite successful. Maybe there are other things that we want to think about times of worship. Doesn't mean we need to change. It means we need to think about these options. The other thing that Reverend Bush mentioned is that we have to focus again on being a neighborhood church, relearning how to welcome the new people in our community, no matter where they are from or what they look or sound like. And it's one of the reasons both of us think that Grace in Calgary and First in Edmonton will continue. On any given Sunday in First, there will be more people of color than there are white people in First. There are more people of color now participating as leaders. Why? Well, because a lot of these people came as elders from their churches in Africa. They already were leaders. So why were they not become leaders here? First has got out in front of that and made sure that they are. Grace Church in Calgary is amazing at its kind of breadth of acceptance. So maybe that's part. Maybe we have some people who are no longer connected to church because nobody said, come in. Within all of this, though, there is a fundamental ingredient of success, hope. And remember this emphasis too. Remember hope. Okay, back to this moment, this anniversary celebration. What are all these examples and quotes? What are all these stories that I'm telling you? What are they trying to tell us? How am I trying to pull us all together so we can feel this anniversary is truly meaningful? For one thing, we have to accept the past is past. But there's something very positive we can learn. Through it all, the good, the bad, the indifferent, St. Peter's has survived. We're here today as part of that legacy. But more important, it has done so because of two key ingredients, hope and love. There's always been hope for the future. It has been successful when there has been love of each other, because it is these two that combine to found a faith that surpasses congregation and denomination. We should celebrate we are still here. We should celebrate that the past has made us strong and interesting and enduring. We should celebrate that with a new minister, we can and will go forward. We should celebrate that we are demonstrating hope. We should celebrate that we are capable of love. I'd like to go back to what Paul said to the people at Philippi and paraphrase it for those of you from me here in Madoc. I thank God for you whenever I think of you. My constant prayers for you are a real joy, for they bring back to my mind how we have worked together for the gospel. I feel sure that the one who is beginning her good work in you will go on developing it until the day of Christ Jesus. It is only natural that I should feel like this about you all. You are all very dear to me. My prayer for you is that you may still have more love, a love that is full of knowledge and wise insight. I want you to be able always to recognize the highest and the best, to see your lives full of true goodness, produced by the power that Christ Jesus gives you to the praise and glory of God. Enjoy today. Be thankful for your new minister. Be eager to share in her leadership. But remember that hope and love require all of us to have faith, all of us to demonstrate that faith. Be willing to try new things, continue to be hopeful, be eager to experiment, continue to be loving. Remember that in spite of everything, we are all part of God's kingdom. So let him do what he wills. It's worked for 80 plus or minus 10 years. Just keep it working in hope, love, and faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of celebration. We also thank you for this time of renewal. We also thank you for this time of old friends gathering to meet new friends. And we thank you most of all for your work in this community through this church from its earliest days to now. And we ask simply that you continue to stir within us hope, love, and faith, so that in the next 150 years, our witness will continue. In Christ's name.